Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's been dubbed the Aussie version of Downton Abbey. Place to Call Home airs on television screens tonight with some top names like Noni Hazelhurst and Bevan Lee. Our TV critic Mark Hadley says religion is all the way through this, but it's also an interesting take on our culture. A very interesting follow-on from our conversation with Nick just then. Mark, welcome back to Open House.
It's great to be here.
Great to see you. Tell us about A Place to Call Home.
Look, A Place to Call Home, I mean, I'm scooping the station because it's pretty much going to air now.
It's just like Open House.
If you're in radio, let me tell you, you know, anything you miss, I'll sum it up here for you.
So, spoiler.
Yes. Spoiler alerts. Look, A Place to Call Home is this new sort of iconic drama that Seven has put together. It's really their big budget one for the year. Mm. It's their play for the year. And it is of the level of Packed to the Rafters or Always Greener, that sort of stuff. Yes. We're looking at that big budget Australian, you know, production. And in fact, it actually comes from the same stable. So Bevan Lee, you know, who worked on or basically brought Packed to the Rafters to Australia, is now bringing A Place to Call Home. And what I, and in fact, indeed my wife as a producer, wanted to know when we were sitting there, can you do Australian historical drama, you know, of the level that a Downton Abbey can do or something like
that?
Is
it anything like Downton Abbey?
Look, Downton Abbey is so different to our world that sometimes you're just amazed by the brass bed knobs and all and the upstairs downstairs stuff.
That way of talking.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. So you watch that. But we all have a sense of what Australia is. And even if you've only lived here for a few years, you start to get a sense of the character. So you know when it doesn't play well on screen. Mm. Now, I can tell you from growing up in sort of country coastal town that this is really what it was like to be in these towns. The monocultures that develop around towns, the sort of key people who actually define what is possible and what is not, this is really coming through in A Place to Call Home. So to summarise the story, it's set in 1953 onwards. Basically, you've got a nurse, Sister Sarah Adams, coming home from being away for 20 years overseas. She's a native Australian, but she's had to leave home under, you know, dubious circumstances. We'll find out more as the series goes on. Marta Dusseldorf plays her. Anyway, and does a marvellous job. She comes home, but on the way home in the ship, she's working at home. It's a working passage on the way home, and she comes in contact with a family from Inverness, the Blys, a really wealthy farming family, and she learns by accident, in just doing her job, some of their secrets, so to speak. Now, I'll leave that for the people who are catching up on DVRs. And in the process of doing so, you know, she has, in a sense, a little bit of pressure that she could bring to bear on this family, but she's too nice a person to do otherwise. So she goes home. She finds out that things fall apart with her own mother. Her own mother's sort of like a bit of a basket case after her brother died in the war. And so she can't stay at home. Her mother won't have her there. And she heads out to this little community built around Inverness. And there she sets up shop as the local sister, you know, as part of the hospital. And so you have basically enough skeletons. No one really knows, you know, where Sister Adams comes from and why she spent all that time over in Europe. And you've got the skeletons of the Bly family, and everybody's, as in most things in country towns, as everybody knows, everybody knows everybody else's business. So you've got all these sharp, you know, sort of bones clanging around the same closet, and this stuff is just going to come out over time.
And you say there is a lot of religion in it.
Yeah, oh yes. And look, it's 1950s Australia, and that is a very religious time. In fact, look, weirdly, 90s Australia and 2000, you know, the early part of the 21st century that we're in, is in stark contrast to how we were as a culture. We have turned the corner, for better, for worse, whatever you think, and we are really not very, you know, godly. It's not really our conversation. It's not really our motivation for anything we do. Yeah. But in the 1950s, people belonged to tribes. So you had the Catholic Church in the town. You had the local, there'd be the Protestant variant. It might be the Methodists, might be the Presbyterians or, you know, the Anglicans. And then you also had the Jews. Now, Judaism was, I think, more prominent in Australia than it is today. I mean, in some suburbs in Australia, it's still very prominent. But by virtue of what had gone on in the war and the consciousness, and in fact, if you like, the national guilt, in fact, international guilt over what had happened to the Jewish people. It had a higher prominence in the 50s too, but people still had a lot of these hangover sort of anti-Semitic thoughts too. You know, people used to think terrible things about the Jews, moneylenders, et cetera, et cetera. You know, not worth going through now. But the point was that you had all of this tension based around religion. And so there it is on the surface. Can you trust a Jew? Could you marry a Catholic? Yeah. You know, what can you do?
It's hard to portray in this day and age how big those issues were.
Look,
actually,
I remember my dad telling me that my mum was not the first woman he'd tried to marry. And I laugh over that. As a kid, oh, yeah, like, of course you tried it, but you love mum. Oh, yes, yes. But there was this other girl I wanted to marry, but the parish priest wouldn't give permission, so I couldn't.
Yep.
You know, and that was it. And that was the world we're in. I grew up in a country town, which I'm fondly, I love my country town. I know there are probably some people listening in. And I call it a country town. It's country coastal. It's beautiful. It's about 100 kilometres and 10 years away. You know, like anytime you go down there, you feel like you're just shifting back about a decade.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. You know, there's wonderful things. You know, you've got the Country Women's Association, all sorts of things. Yeah. People are just, you know, walking around the streets talking about jams they've made. You know, so that's wonderful. And yet at the same time, we had a very strong, we were a Protestant town. If you wanted to be a Mick, if you wanted to be a Catholic, then that was two towns over.
Yeah.
You know, and so that sort of thing is very prominent. And weirdly, what A Place to Call Home brings out, which I think is really good, is just how skin deep all of that was. Because everybody went to church, because if you didn't, you know, there was something wrong with you. The butcher went to church, because people wouldn't buy meat in the main street from a butcher who didn't go to church. You know, and the newsagent who on, you know, Monday to Friday would sell the most incredible things, you know, in brown paper bags, would be there on Sunday. You know, so you have this sort of culture that is this thin deep. There's this wonderful moment where in which Naomi Hazelhurst plays Elizabeth Bly, who's the matriarch of the Bly family. And just look, I'd watch it just to watch Naomi Hazelhurst,
she's but great.
She's amazing. Anyway, she comes in and she castigates her son George for falling asleep, and he says, "Oh, you know, it was a good sermon." And she says, "You slept all the way through it." I said, "That's what I mean." Like, didn't interrupt me. I was okay. And that is very much like, can I get through church? And, you know, I'm wearing my suit and tie. Can I get through church without being bothered too much, get on with my normal life?
The rest of the week it's skin deep.
And get everything else to work out. Now, I think that the great thing about A Place to Call Home is it's going to talk very much about forgiveness. You know, there are a lot of characters in this you know, early framing of the story who need to talk about forgiveness. There's a struggle between Sister Adams and her mum and how she feels about Sister Adams and what she did to the family and turning her back on the family and becoming a Jew. And so there's those sorts of tensions. And then there's also sorts of things going on between the Blys and Sister Adams and all sorts of things. Forgiveness is going to be a big issue. But what is going to even underlie all that is why we forgive. Now, why we forgive in our day-to-day is that we say, look, no one should point the finger. We've all got to be tolerant. So basically, let everybody alone. That's why we say we forgive each other. You know, like, I can't cause trouble for you. Judge, you cause trouble for me. Let's just forgive and let live and let live. But forgiveness in the 50s was based on something quite different. It was based on the idea that you had been forgiven. So how could you hold somebody else accountable? In a religious society, you forgave because you were an object of forgiveness, you know, not just because no one else was pointing the finger. And I wonder whether or not they're going to bring that through. I wonder whether this faith is going to be anything else but window dressing. If it is, here's my prediction. If it's just window dressing, then it might as well be packed to the rafters. We've just changed the hats and put old Fords on the street.
Be nice to see if it did amount to something. Well, a bit more just for once.
If they're honest about the culture, and this is the thing, you asked me, is it Downton Abbey? Well, Downton Abbey was honest about the culture of the time, you know, warts and all, good and bad. And what I'd like to see is honest looking at 1950s culture. Sure, there's some hypocrisy there too, but there was some real religion underneath it.
Is it going to be a success, just quickly?
Mate, give me 6 months and I'll tell you.
There's a man who commits himself.
2020 hindsight.
Mark Hadley, thank you so much as always.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.